wonderful, majestic world around us, it's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
Hi, Joel.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, Joel.
How are we feeling?
Just gutted. Last Dear Science for me.
Absolutely. We are so sad to see you go.
Same here. It's going to be tough, you know, every Tuesday at noon not talking about dolphin clitorises.
Really, really hard. That's hard-hitting stuff. No, we will dearly miss you, but you are wearing a BFM hat.
Yes, I got a very nice parting gift from the staff here, and now I get to rock BFM everywhere I go.
Beamish University campus. I'm pretty sure you can buy it online, too.
You can.
Yeah. Look as cool as Joel.
Fun story. I recently purchased a new vehicle.
Really?
And the radio station was BFM. And I haven't changed it since.
No. And nor should you.
Yeah, what's the point?
Keep it on the bed. That was so in sync. That was telepathic. Now, we got you that hat because we like you. Because we're potentially biased.
Whoa.
Towards you. So, what is this about bias?
Bias. It exists.
No.
So even if you think you have no biases, you're wrong.
True.
You're absolutely wrong. And we can't address said biases unless we accept that we have them.
No.
Okay.
So that's the moral of the story for today. But I'm going to walk through a couple different recent studies that have looked at things like biases. So the first one that I would like to bring up, because, well, I guess it is an election year, but fake news.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah. It's giving me 2020 flashbacks.
Yeah, I'm getting them all at once.
Yes. But get ready for more of it, because it's never ending. And so what these researchers at the University of Southern California wanted to find out is, why do people share fake news?
Yeah, why do they?
Really good question. So some people would say, all right, well, if you're sharing news that's fake, they're not a great critical thinker, right? Or maybe they have political biases.
True.
But this recent study actually had a bit more to say, and it found that the largest factor for sharing fake news was actually the reward system built into social media.
You are kidding me. Oh, well, I guess the bigger the splash, the more of a reaction.
Exactly. So just like how video games are designed to give you some sort of reward system, social media also designed to give you those likes, those loves, and...
Comment section. Yeah.
So what they did is they looked at over 2,400 active Facebook users, and they found that the people, the habitual users, the heavy users, shared disproportionately the most misinformation, the most fake news.
Wow, that's interesting.
It is interesting. And what was even more interesting is that, you know, sometimes they would actually share fake news that was politically discordant with their own personal beliefs. So it didn't matter necessarily if it was super conservative or super liberal. The people that were most active, that were sharing the most, didn't seem to care. They just wanted to keep sharing.
They just wanted the attention.
They just wanted the attention. But the good news is that in this study, they basically were able to trial out some ways to combat that, and they found that if their reward system is based on accuracy, so like if you get more reward for sharing accurate information, it actually doubled the amount of real news that was shared.
Oh, that's great, because I was about to be like, how do we fight this? I mean, we're all members of the news team on The Wire, and so it's just horrific, the thought of fake news. I'm shuddering. No, that is interesting. So the more reward attached to accurate information results in more accurate.
It's all about the reward system, it turns out. Unfortunately, at the moment, social media companies are very much based on popularity.
Yeah.
So that's the reward-based system, is how many shares you get, how many comments. They don't really care if it's accurate or not. They just want those clicks, which, of course, is in line with their business model. And maybe a reason why they haven't done this reward system based on accuracy is because it actually limits people share less if they have to go through this step and check it for accuracy.
I guess it's more important than ever that we're informed and able to apply our critical thinking skills, and yet the most difficult time than ever to do so. You know, we're getting this constant influx of bullshit, for lack of a better word.
Great word.
How do we tell what's
real and what's fake?
Yeah.
Well, there are some tips that you can abide by. One being, check the source.
Yeah, indeed.
Check the source. Of course, top of the pyramid for most trusted source would be peer-reviewed literature. But of course, there are other types of sources as well as respected news agencies and articles where they actually do interview experts and get quotes rather than something that might be from personal opinion. Mm. So unfortunately, you might have to click that link and read the article rather than just the headline.
Oh, no. No, just kidding. We can do that for the good of society. Would it take working with social media outlets to put in place a new reward system?
So that's where there are some academics that believe that some sort of regulation might be needed to kind of instill these types of reward systems that are based on accuracy rather than, say, popularity.
So there's currently no regulation system?
Currently, no. Not for this particular type of sharing regulation.
Bummer. Well, now we know how to spot it. Go to the experts, stay with them, they'll tell you the truth.
That's right. And you can always use something like factcheck.org or Snopes, which will do all this legwork for you if you're curious about a particular article or subject.
Gonna bookmark it on my browser.
Click, click, click. That is amazing. And you've got some stories here for us.
I've got more stories.
And got some yarns about implicit bias.
Implicit biases. Yeah, not a super exciting topic, I'm aware, but important.
Could be fun.
Could be fun. All right, so we're going to take you all the way back to 2020 again. And
oh, no.
I know everyone has kind of mentally repressed it, but we're going to take just a bit of a dive because it was breeding ground for biases and the news on social media, and especially relating to COVID. So vaccines, treatments like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, some things much more effective than others. And so this study in our favorite journal, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, otherwise known as PNAS.
Oh, I knew that one, but I was like, is it too early in the day? All right, what did PNAS say? There you go.
So what they did is they actually looked at critical care physicians, so a.k.a. doctors, and they gave them a theoretical case of like a patient that had COVID, and they basically asked for their political inclinations as well as what their news sources were, and then they looked at how they would treat this person to see if there were any political biases. Turns out, yes.
They were.
Even amongst experts themselves, there was a political bias to treat with some of these lesser effective treatments like the old hydroxychloroquine drug or ivermectin. Now, of course, the bias was, of course, much less pronounced than compared to the general lay people, the general public. So experts overall were better, but those that leaned very far right, so very conservative, actually were in disagreement on these treatments compared to, or more likely to be in disagreement compared to those that were leaning far left or moderates. And so what they did is they, for instance, gave them a breakdown of the drug ivermectin that was critical of how it might not actually be effective in treating COVID. Mm. And so they did it blind without mentioning the drug name. And so they found that pretty much everyone was in agreement. But when they unblinded it and it had the term ivermectin in it, those that were the most far-right conservative that would watch cable news as their source of information actually had a different opinion of that breakdown of the drug.
That is so interesting. Could you just change the name? Or is that off the cards?
This isn't ivermectin. What are you talking about?
So this is important that we do have biases. And again, there's just things that we need to accept before we can try to, you know, acknowledge and basically move forward. So political bias, not the only type of bias out there. There's also a very pronounced gender bias.
No way. I never knew.
Well, it might be because you were biased.
Maybe.
So this was a study that was done at Colorado State University. And so what they did is they took uni students in STEM, science, technology, engineering, maths. And what they found is that the female students actually outperformed the male. Better marks.
Mm.
Higher chance of getting an A plus.
Girl power.
Girl power.
Tuesday Wire, girl power.
It's real. But here's the thing. Both men and women in the class identified the males as presumed to be the best students.
Oh, no. That is so interesting.
I love society.
Society. So what was their reasoning? Like, were they asked to give reasoning?
For this particular study, it was just a survey where, unfortunately, they didn't get to break down where these biases originate. And that's something, of course, that is going to be for further study. But there's also, in other classes, like the life sciences, where the females were actually outnumbered the males in these classes, actually had a similar type of relationship where the females in the class were not necessarily seen as the best resources for this information, the best students.
Well, that's shocking. How do we help that along?
Right. So, I mean, people kind of assume that if we have a more equitable distribution of men and women in these STEM classes, that's going to solve bias problems. But this study has blatantly told us that there's more that needs to be done.
Yeah, there's something on a deeper level. And you'd just hope that the, you know, professors and teachers and things aren't biased as well.
And so that's why, again, we need to accept that it's our personal responsibility to try to acknowledge these biases. And so, yeah. I mean, some tips to do that is you can try to think of people as individuals rather than, you know, part of a larger group. Try to think of someone that is maybe from a stereotype group that doesn't fit that description. That can help break some of these internal biases. Try to think of things from another person's perspective. Try to walk a life in their shoes, for instance. And, of course, increasing contact from other social groups, again, can help break down some of these implicit biases.
Totally. So work on it, listeners. All of us have to.
We're all in this together.
Would you aim for a world of zero bias, or does a little make it go round? Who knows?
Got to be asked.
I don't know if we'll ever be able to totally eliminate biases.
No, sadly. Yeah, just as sad as you leaving. How could you?
I am also quite sad, but the Wire will survive. Dear Science will survive. It's in great hands with a great team, and you're going to keep on crushing it.
Exactly. Well, thank you for all your time over the years, all the dolphins we've discussed, all the science. Thank you, Motet. Thank you, Joel, very much. And thank you, Science.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.